Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
For juggalos and juggalettes.
You are now listening to the best friends podcast in the world.
Windows open, Dan.
Ooh, yeah, got that breeze coming in.
Fresh
cut under that hat too, I see.
Yeah, oh yeah, got a nice little fade ski.
Yeah, see that.
Fresh cut. So when I do have it on, I look like I am going through a certain chemical therapy.
No, man, it just looks tight. It looks tight around the hat. You can always tell when someone's got a fresh cut on.
I feel like because my hair is getting lighter down here.
Because
I have the hat on, it looks like the hair's not actually there.
Yeah, like you finally just gave up. You're that guy who had that had the spot and goes, you know what? Just go. It's all going away now.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the greatest podcast to exist in the history of podcasts. It's your number one source for all things craft beer related. Internationally acclaimed, Cindy Crawford approved podcast of hops, high fives.
Oh yeah, ooh.
And friendship. I am your host, the crispiest of boys, the crowd killer of crispies. It's Tom.
Do the crowd killer.
crowd kill.
Oh, yeah. And I'm your other host, the Hot Master General, the Royers Ford Rattlesnake. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, it's Dan.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, we are back. Dan, I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited.
We're featuring a beer that I had it when I had it at the brewery. I was like, man, you know what? I'm getting a 4-pack of this because one, it's delicious, and two, my buddy Dan is going to really like this one.
He does like a dank hazy on occasion.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And this is dank on the nose. It's a good one. As soon as you get a taste on it, you're going to, I feel like you're going to be like, yeah, Tom, you know what? You were right.
Oof, man. Get that in the intro there.
Yeah. But guys, it is the year of 2020 hard four. And, you know, we're doing this the right way.
We're doing it the right way.
Yeah. We found a whole list of songs that are under, what is it, 30 seconds?
Yeah, nothing screams hardcore music like a 30-second just blitzkrieg of a song.
Yeah.
Just complete balls to the wall aggression in under 30 seconds. And I mean, that's what I think of a hardcore, like Black Flag and stuff like that. Just doing that. And it made me think, what, it was like 3 episodes ago. I'm like, I bet there's a playlist on Apple Music of just 30-second hardcore songs. And all I did was write in the search bar 30-second hardcore songs. And you know what? It popped up.
And the big thing is these songs, they're not going to get dinged for copyright. So it's all fair use, baby.
Yeah, we found out, what, last episode we didn't get dinged?
Yeah, so we're all good, but... Everyone, it is the year of 2020 Hard Four. We are the best friends podcast in the world, and we are starting right now.
Yep.
I want to be an alcoholic. Want to be your drug dependent. Want to be sedated most of the time. I want to be a one-night stand. I want to back that in with my pants. I want to be an alcoholic.
You know what? I kind of wanted that to be our theme song for this podcast, but I was like, it's too on the nose. Yes. As soon as I saw that on the playlist, I was like, we better play this.
Yeah, we had to. So that was
it's not quite hardcore, but man, it is such a great song. And it's very apropos to, you know, the beers that we feature and everything, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, so that's I Want to Be an Alcoholic by NoFX. Yeah, I mean, that one was, I like, I'm a big fan of this whole 30 second playlist.
I love it.
Yeah. And I'm also a big fan of lo-fi.
Who isn't?
So, everyone, you know the deal. Follow, rate, review. Give us a follow on all major podcast platforms. Give us a rating. Dan, rating?
5-star party, baby.
And shoot us a review, guys. Take a couple minutes out of your day if you're enjoying the podcast. We do this all for the cost of $3.99. If you want to support us, take a couple minutes, give us a review. We don't care what the review is, but just drop one for us. Help us out. If you do want to support us monetarily, there's two ways to do it. One's a link in our bio. It goes to a listener support section. You can donate some money. Cool. Best way to do it is Dan.
Sub with Prime.
Sub with Prime. If you have an Amazon Prime account, who doesn't these days, go to www.twitch.tv/bestbestfriendspod. Don't know why I threw the www in there. But yeah, go with twitch.tv
real
slash best
boomer of you right there.
Yes, yeah, slash best best friends pod. You can sub to the channel with your Prime account and you get ad free viewing, and we get a little kickback. You know, it helps everybody out. You can donate subs. I got a funny story. I was watching a Twitch stream the other night, and it was like, your subscription started. I was like, oh, people donate subs, and then they just randomly give them out. So I got that. Okay. So I get to watch my favorite Twitch channel other than our own without ads. So it's nice.
Oh, is that the bubble bath girl who sells her bath water?
No. It's the one that sits on the clear chair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, the one that skirts all the rules. guys, that's the best way to support us. And as always, we are part of the Hopped Up Network. Hopped Up Network is an ever-growing group of independent craft beer podcasts, much like our own. If you like our podcast, you might like some of the others on the platform. Check them out, www.hoppedupnetwork.com. Instagram at Hopped Up Network.
I just realized, because I caught it briefly on mm-hmm. the screen, that every time I watch the Phillies, it just looks like I'm just staring at you affectionately.
Just lovingly. Just like, yeah. Find someone that looks at you like Dan looks at me.
I'm just sitting here watching the Phillies go to work, and I'm like, oh, I'm gazing at Tom.
Just lovingly gazing at me. All right, Dan, let's get into this beer.
Let's do it. I didn't want to bring this up in the intro and like take it too long, but I do have a special Danky Boy glass that I like to use for all my Danky Boy IPAs. Okay. Do you have a specific glass that you like to always have yours? Oh, that is a good one. Mm-hmm. I have that one as well. I have the Ninja Turtle glass.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's my new Danky Boy one.
So we are...
You go ahead. I'll bring it up on the screen.
We are going to be traveling. But I feel like we've been talking about them a lot lately. And...
we've been standing hardcore on this.
Yeah. So it's a brewery that, what's up, Chris White? It's a brewery that we've taken shots at for sure. We like to have fun with them, but
it's all in love though. Yeah. I'd say we jest about Hen River.
And we'll get into it a little bit more as we talk about the beer, but we're going to be drinking one, and I mentioned it earlier. I had this at the brewery the other day with a friend of the podcast, Andy Mann. And I was like, man, as soon as I tasted it, I was like, this is right up Dan's alley. I got to get a 4-pack and share the love, spread the wealth as it were. And we're going to be doing Reciprocal Web by Hidden River Brewing in Douglasville, Pennsylvania. This one is what caught my eye is that it was hopped with only Nelson Sauvin and Sauvin and Mosaic. So what you have in this beer is a grape dank peach and candy lime.
Hyacinth.
Hyacinth? Okay.
Hyacinth.
Yeah. Slightly creamy, grassy finish to balance. And Dan, if God damn it, if they aren't spot on with their description, because this is what I'm getting real, like the candied lime, I'm thinking more like lime zest.
Okay.
More of that like bittery lime.
I'm salivating right now.
The grape, you're getting real grape dank up front. Nailed it.
Tom, I'm getting slightly creamy about this beer right now. Let's get going.
All right. Let's Chris White is drinking a Futurity double IPA from them right now. Damn, it's good. Okay, right, well, we'll get into this a little bit. Single IPA from them. So, you know, kind of a rare thing.
It's a unicorn.
3, 2, 1. Woo! Yeah, Dan.
Oh man, this smells like the middle console of my car in high school.
Yeah, this is smells like a Cypress Hill concert.
Yeah, smells like Cypress Hill concert in here.
I love the color on it.
Beautiful.
It's just like the right amount of haze. Like it's not like overly like orange juice hazy. Yeah. But goddamn, is that dank-alicious.
Gotta get me a
dank-alicious.
Ooh, it's a good one. Yep. All right, Tom.
Daniel.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Sláinte.
Ooh, yeah. That's in River right there.
Mm-hmm.
Dank grape really hits the nail on the head, especially right? Using Mosaic with the Nelson. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of that grape white wine with the Nelson, and Mosaic comes in with like a citrus, almost kind of like an orange kush dankness to it that kind of complements the white wine.
Mm-hmm.
White Do you wine.
Like that? The shrimp?
White wine.
Dude, I haven't seen that forever. that was a classic.
Classic. Yeah, I mean, this is their description is nail on the head, right?
Look at that little jiggle,
Oh, they got some ITU action there.
Great mouthfeel on it. It's way, I would call it like it is slightly soft, but like not too soft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I feel like they definitely balance the introduction of oats into that mash. To where it's got a good mouthfeel. It's not too soft, but you know, you still get a nice like light body on it. Definitely a single IPA taste.
You don't want it to be too soft in the mouthfeel.
Yeah.
I
like it slightly creamy.
I mean, with this, Dan, like up front, dank grape right there. Front and center. Grapes,
yeah, exactly. They
definitely a peachiness to it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you get what I'm saying about, I've never had candied lime, so I'm not sure what that tastes like, but.
That lime zest or like lime peel mm-hmm. bitterness. To yeah. It. Yeah. I think that's where that and the grass kind of come in at the end.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so refreshing. It's just a refreshing IPA.
It is.
Now.
I love hearing Tom describe hazy IPAs because it's like. It's just him smashing hazy IPAs all the time. And then he's just like, God damn, this is great.
God damn it. if done right, they're very good.
Exactly. And I think that is what it is. One thing, like they've kind of painted themselves into a corner with them, but I mean, they still do them so well.
Yeah. So we've talked about them and like we said, in jest, you know, we make fun of them because if you go into Hidden River, if you go on their website and look at their beer menu, it's 12 beers and nine to 10 of them are IPAs.
Yeah.
A majority are going to be hazy double IPAs. This is a single IPA, a unicorn. So Andy Man, I met up with Andy Man there. And we had, you know, they had an Italian Pils on side pool, so had to get that, obviously. I think I got both of their non-IPA options. I got their Italian Pils and their blended farmhouse ale.
Yeah, the mixed firm.
Yeah. Big perm. mixed firm. And then I was like, you know what, Andy and I did when you're at you're two dads at a bar and you're like, you look at each other like, you have time for one more? We'll do one more. And I looked at, I just looked up and down first of all, I didn't know the Pils was on side pool. I was like, what do you have on side pool? And they're like, the Italian Pils. And I was like, cool, already had that. Looked up and down the board, looked over the IPAs. A lot of them looked pretty, basic. I was like, maybe something will stand out to me. And sure enough, the single IPA with just Nelson and Mosaic, which I thought was an interesting hop combo.
Yeah, it's not one that I see very often. I do enjoy, I don't think I've ever had a bad hazy IPA or just IPA in general with Nelson.
Okay.
I think Nelson or just New Zealand in general, just every hop that comes out of that region. Nelson obviously coming out from the, Sauvignon Blanc region. Mm-hmm. So like that's where you're getting that grape and white wine essence from. But I mean, every single hop from New Zealand, in my opinion, is always lights out when it comes to hazy IPAs. I mean, New Zealand is rolling around like Scrooge McDuck in just like a giant money pit from breweries in Pennsylvania and just in the United States making hazy IPAs with them. Mr. Nelson Sauvin himself is just diving into a bunch of money.
And Chris White says, Kevin, the brewer does a hell of a job in general, but the IPAs are incredible. And look, like I was getting at, we make fun of them for having an IPA heavy, list. We got another run on the board, Daniel.
Home run from Bryce Harper.
Nice.
Two run.
But that said, I don't think that I've had a bad beer from Hidden River. Or one that I didn't thoroughly enjoy.
I don't think I've had any bad beers from them either.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they do their IPAs really well.
I've had like some beers where I'm like, God, this is just like, it was just like a booze factory where like I could definitely feel the buzz after like half a can. If that's my only negative reaction to In River, then yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't.
I got drunk off half this can. Okay.
Luckily, this one is, what are we sitting at, like 5.6 or something?
Yeah. So this one's light. This is actually 7%. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Their single IPAs are still, pretty high test, but still very in a respectable range of about 6 to 7% for that, which isn't bad at all.
Yeah.
Or that I've been reading up on the Nelson Sauvin hop. And I know Tom, you did a little homework for the podcast here as well.
Yeah. So Nelson. Yeah. So we wanted to kind of feature, we're trying a new thing, do a little bit more. One of the B's is, hop education, in our BBC, beer, hop education, cock.
the BHBC.
So this one, because it so heavily features Nelson Sauvin, do a little bit of background on that. And Nelson Sauvin was derived from the Sauvignon Blanc white grape, in which many agree has similar flavor and aroma characteristics.
Oh.
Developed in New Zealand and released in 2000, the millennium, as some people call it, It is considered too wild for many major brewers. Despite this, Nelson Sauvin has found significant use among craft breweries and home brewers for its eccentric characteristics.
Yeah, high alpha acids mm-hmm. in this bad boy. So like this is high aroma. This is actually high bitterness too, which may be deriving that lime peel kind of taste you're getting off of this. So like, I mean, their alpha acids are 12 to 13%, which is pretty high in numbers there.
So the variety gained popularity in American style pale ales, which is definitely a hop that requires prudent and discerning application in brewing. Nelson Sauvin's oil profile is complex and fortunately works well as an aroma hop, flavor hop, and also for bittering. So just like what Dan goes back to what Dan was saying, a low cohumulone is responsible for its smooth bittering qualities. It is descended from smooth cone.
Yeah, variety of smooth cone. This hop was derived from, but yeah, exactly. It's a high alpha acid, which like the bittering is there, but it's a smooth bitterness to it. So, would you hit on one of your bets?
No. No. Somebody in our group chat just said, fuck Ranger Suarez. And it took words away from me. Couldn't think of somebody actually not liking Ranger Suarez. Yes, characteristic smooth bittering, rich, fruity, gooseberry. I always like that. Like, I've never seen gooseberry in like the produce section of the grocery store.
I remember seeing gooseberry jam in Iceland, and I'm like, I gotta have it. I just gotta know what it is. I just remember it being like, it's just like not good jam. It's like,
it always makes me think of schnozberries.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. And white wine flavors, white wine, purpose is bittering and aroma. Like you said, high alpha acid composition, 12 to 13%, country of origin, New Zealand, obviously, seasonal maturity is mid to late in season, and it's got a high growth rate.
Ooh, so this is something just like, I mean, if it's high growth rate means, I mean, it just keeps coming back and its availability is just going to be high. And you don't see a lot of, you don't see a lot of breweries, using it as often. I know, we're having it here, but it's not like that Citra Mosaic where it's like in abundance, people are using it constantly.
I feel like it's a very good Citra substitute.
I feel like it's a sophisticated substitute.
Yeah.
It's got more complexity to it. Tom, you mentioned it. I'll let you do it.
It's got a bouginess to it.
There you go, Tom.
It's the bougie version of Citra.
Oh, man. Here we go. I got your bougie Citra right here. If Nelson was a hop, it's this right here.
The androgynous lead singer of Aerosmith.
Yeah. Nelson Sauvin is Steven Tyler and hop.
Yeah. Is that 70 sex symbol Steven Tyler? Or is that your mall walking mom?
Exactly. This is the hop that's going to be having that white wine at noon on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and she's going to complain about the check regardless of how accurate it is.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't drink that much wine.
Linda, we didn't drink this much, did we? Style guide is American Pale Ale, India Pale Ale, and Pale Ale.
Yes, sir. It's got a type.
Substitutes, I guess, would mean substitutes for the hop would be Pacific Jade and Pacifica.
Two I've never really had.
Mm-mm. I feel like we've had one with Pacifica in it.
I feel like I thought it was the other one, the Pacific Jade, but maybe
Pacifica. Bred in New Zealand. It's another New Zealand. So Pacifica is triploid aroma hop, or Pacific Hellertau.
Ooh, okay.
It was open. Oh, is the result of open pollination breeding of German hop Hellertau Mittelfura.
Really?
The hop was released. Oh, okay. Interesting.
So what, like German hops being grown in New Zealand?
I guess.
Cross-pollinated?
Yeah, like Hellertau.
How does German hops get to New Zealand? Is it like Argentina?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, okay.
You think they're just down there? Suddenly after 1945?
Yeah, they just found their way to New Zealand.
Yeah.
We've always had a rich culture here.
First introduced in 1946. Huh.
Interesting.
We've always been here.
We've had a rich heritage here.
That rich New Zealand German heritage.
Yeah. Pacifica is
blonde haired, blue eyed people with kin tattoos.
It's mostly known for its aromatic properties. So it's citrusy, spicy, absolutely, orange, and floral aromas.
I bet. I mean, if you're Hellertau and like a New Zealand hop, I bet right on the nose, it has to be.
Dan, style guide. There's one style that it's used for. Can you guess what it is?
What is that, Tom?
Porter.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So Pacific Jade released from Hort Research's New Zealand Hop Research Program 2004. Started its existence predominantly limited to New Zealand domestic market. However, it's found its way into inventories worldwide. Ancestrally, Pacific Jade owes its existence to Saz and fellow New Zealand-born variety First Choice.
So a little Saz and First Choice kind of coming together and pollinating as well.
Yeah, flavors of lemon, citrus, and cracked pepper. So it's got a little cracked lemon pepper, wing sauce. And
I haven't had a good lemon pepper wing sauce in a while.
It's been a while.
Not a lot of it's a sauce that is underrated.
Yeah. I haven't had a lemony wing sauce in a while.
Yeah.
Even like lemon parmesan or garlic parm. Like I'm pretty much just down the line buffalo sauce, or if I'm feeling like if I want to eat a wing but not like a spicy wing, honey mustard.
I've been going hot honey lately.
Hot honey? Okay. So I did have one. What's that? The place that's in Phoenixville, outside of Phoenixville.
Gridiron.
They had that bee sting.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's what turned me on to hot honey, man. Yeah. Remember, we went there when they opened.
Yeah, Sweet Heat.
Yeah, Sweet Heat right there. Gotta love me some Sweet Heat.
I do.
Speaking of Sweet Heat, man, Ranger, baby.
Yeah? Tranquilo.
Tranquilo's in the top of the ninth right now.
So, going CG? We looking at a Ranger CG? Okay, Dan, I did find this. I like the visual on this one. This is Nelson Sauvin. This is kind of like, have you ever seen the draft charts for players where it's like speed, speed, height, like wingspan? Yeah. So they did this with the hops,
which it's a hop chart.
Yeah. And they kind of nail this tropical fruit, more way towards the berry, which I would assume is more towards like the grape.
Yeah, I would say
herbal, and you would think more grassy.
I would say pushing more on the grassy side or in between for that. But I definitely agree with tropical and berry there.
I agree. Not really floral, not herbal, not resinous. Maybe a little citrusy.
Little citrus.
Yeah.
But that could be the mosaic, though, because we are looking at a two-hop.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, a two-hop IPA that mosaic has that citrus, like orange kush dankness to it as well.
Oh,
and it's very grapefruity.
The most basic bitch of hops.
She is a basic dank bitch. She is.
So Dan, verdict on my assessment of this beer being right up your alley.
Tom, you know me well. You know me well. I keep pouring the can into the glass and realizing there's nothing left inside of it.
So. yeah, it's a really, really good one. I'm a
complete game shutout, baby.
Ooh.
Complete game shutout. Rangers Suarez. Look at that. Tranquilo.
I'm gonna rub it in this dude's face.
Oh man, Ranger just took care of business tonight, guys. Philadelphia Phillies. Look at that.
Yeah. So yeah. We're not getting we can't do sports talk, Dan. We can't do it. We can't get drug into it.
I was like, he got the second out, and I was just like, it's two.
Dan, we are stepping away from our hop talk. Ranger danger. There he is. And the Phillies game ends and Andy Mann hops on stream.
He had us, you know how you have something on the last button after the game ends? Yeah. You hit the last button, he just went right back to the podcast.
Yeah, he had us on mute the whole time. Dan, so we talked about it. I brought it up in our group chat this weekend. You piled into it was a weekend of, I think we all went kind of full dad.
Yeah, we all, I would say in our group chat, we began the process of, you know, what, it's not nesting, but it was getting our properties in order, our house in order.
Yeah. It was a full dad boner weekend.
It was.
I think I griddled all weekend. I was out at the Blackstone all weekend.
Just grilling breakfast, yeah. Lunch, and dinner.
Yeah. Three square
meals.
Yeah. And you know, did you mow this weekend, Dan?
Yeah, I did my second mow actually.
Okay. All right, Daniel.
I did the, it was the second mow of the backyard. Okay. First mow of the front.
Okay.
It
was my first mow. And honestly, I could have let it grow a little bit more. So we get our, I've talked about it on the podcast before. I get the front yard treated.
Yeah.
And I like to let it grow out. Let it get strong. Become a strong boy. Grow.
Yes.
Grow. Become strong. But in my backyard, I was getting some thick patches.
I was getting the thick patches as well in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Not in the front yard is pretty consistent height, yeah. But that, yeah, the backyard, I was getting the patches.
Yeah.
And it was looking full, and I just had to take it down a notch.
Yeah. The thick patches in the back were getting, they were clustering a little close together. I actually had to do a high deck. I cranked the deck all the way up and took it, you know, took the tops off and then
crank it back down ever so slightly. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. And just went over the thick spots. And then I did the full yard back and forth.
Even it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it was a night, you know, went out, picked up sticks, brought the boy out, picked up some sticks.
Let me ask you this, Tom. You do a fertilization on the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that before. Mm-hmm. On Monday after my second mow is when I apply the old weed and feed, you know, mm-hmm. the turf builder starts getting added to the lawn. So Monday morning at a crack of 6:30 out there,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, spraying some fertilizer. I can't tell you, I mean, yeah, I did this at 6:30. I'd say by 1:30, I was looking out the window on my lunch break, just seeing the lawn.
Okay.
Wondering if it's getting greener. Like how much, like after a, you know, fertilization, are you just like looking at the lawn and be like, are you getting greener out there?
Yeah.
You look for it?
Well, especially
you find yourself just like checking it mm-hmm. and like going out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
At
it. I look yeah. at like I get down on the hill and I look at like the you can see like the shape of the undulation of the hill.
Exactly. You're looking at it just be like, all right. And you're looking at those spots that you had mentally in your head mm-hmm. of where like major weed clusters were. Just be like, are you dying yet? Are you dying and the grass is coming through?
So we've had this is our third year of having it treated. We nary a weed. Dan, I was talking to my wife about this. She was like, oh, do you notice that we don't get dandelions in the front? And I was like, have you looked at our neighbors? So the dandelions literally go up to like our property line and just stop. There's yeah. a straight line. It's like a wall that the dandelions hit and just stop.
And they will not cross. Yeah.
No. And yeah, I was like a certain president, like, we're going to build a wall. We got to keep them out. We got to keep these dandelions out. They're dirty, filthy weeds. We're going to keep them out. Yeah.
They're taking the grass's job.
Yeah. They're multiplying. I don't know how. They're coming in. They're multiplying.
It was great. You know, we had that early hit of like warm weather.
Yeah.
And like, you know, dandelion or two popped up in the yard and my daughter was just like, oh, look, flowers. I was like, take a good look at them.
Yeah.
They're going to be gone.
Yeah. That happened in the backyard. There's still dandelions. Yeah. My son was like, oh, I'm going to pick flowers for mom. I was like, picking filthy weeds.
I was like, pick them now because they're getting killed.
Yeah. Can I show you what I'm looking at? I've been toying back and forth. It was originally going to be a Temu purchase, but I think I'm going to need the Prime on this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What are we looking at?
And guys, rough cut. We're in this. We're in this right now. Rough cut of this. We're going to polish it up. Hold on.
Dad discussion.
There it is.
Yeah.
we're kicking it. We're right in the thick of dad discussion season.
Yeah. This is where the dad discussions really, really fly out.
Yeah. Here we go, Dan.
All right.
Aerator shoes.
Ooh.
Dan.
See, that does seem like a Temu purchase.
Right. Yes, I agree. And they're cheaper on Temu. But the Amazon Prime, the 2-day, you have them by the weekend.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, are you going to be walking around with like your hands on your hips while you're doing this? Just like inspecting your lawn while you
absolutely.
Do the.
Absolutely. 100%. Or here was my thought.
Okay.
Wear them while I'm mowing. Two birds at once, Dan.
Ooh, okay.
Two birds.
A little push mow aeration action.
Yeah, getting two birds stoned at the same time. You know what I mean?
Taking care of that thatchy lawn.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, getting a little aeration going.
Do they make dog sized ones so I could just put them on the dog when she's out there?
Goddamn, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm getting a trail from like my patio all the way out to like the side of my shed for my dog always runs out to one corner of the yard to like look at a dog that's in the other yard.
Oh.
And then runs back. So like I would say by May I'm going to have a trail that I'm going to need to treat with like grass seed and turf builder because she's just going to make a straight trail through.
I thought
I thought
and so I've seen those shoes in a Looney Tune cartoon. Yeah, pretty
sure they're made by Acme
products. Yes. I thought you were gonna say that you were getting a trail to the shed because that was like the designated loaf pinching area.
Oh no. It's not even that. She just runs out, barks, and then she'll circle around the shed and then take a shit in a different spot.
Ah. Yeah, you can't. You know the old saying, don't shit where you bark.
Exactly. Does your dog have a designated shitting area in the yard? Do you find that there's like a specific area where she does it?
No. It's all over the goddamn place. It's just a random spot every time.
damn, she's just like, she's just laying mines out
willy-nilly.
Yeah, we only have one region. Thankfully, it's great because, you know, I could take Isla out to the swing set and I know there's not going to be shit around it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, it's predictable enough that I can see the piles. And I'm just like, ooh, I need to get out there with the old scooper.
Yeah, no, this is she does seem to stay on the eastern hemisphere of the yard.
So all's quiet on the western front?
Yeah, pretty much for the most part. There was one stray over on the western side, but I think that is because of the thickets were growing more on the eastern side of the
area. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The taller the grass, the less that they want to frequent that area.
Right.
Tickles the old tickles the butthole when they go down.
The coolie, as it were.
Yeah. I don't like the grass touching my ass when I shit out there either. So
no. It's you need to rub some Claritin on it or some Zyrtec.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're in the thick of dad season. This is prime.
It's going to be a lot of mowing talk. So, we'll try and keep it towards the end so you can tune out afterwards after the beer talk, if you're here for the beer, but hey, stick around for the mowing talk, stick around for the grill talk. It's almost time to get the, I've been doing the touchless, car wash, mm-hmm. throughout the winter. Time, yeah, the weather's changing. I'm gonna be out there actually waxing and cleaning my own car now. So, be talking about that.
There you go. I can't remember the last time I've taken my car through the touchless. I usually go to the into the, you know, the bay, the you know, do your own car wash in the bays. Yeah,
we have a touchless one like right up the hill, so it's like it's. Yeah, it's two blocks away.
Oh yeah, by the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that one's touchless. So that one's easy to frequent. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if there wasn't one around, I'd be using the bays and stuff. But
yeah, I had something in mind, and we were gonna. Yeah, I lost it. Are you getting getting a grilling? Did you get a new grill?
I haven't. See, I didn't get a grill last year, so okay. I got rid of my old grill, and I was thought about getting a grill, and I ended up never like pulling the trigger. I'm like, I'll just wait till next year. So this year I'm gonna get a grill. This year is the year of the grill.
I still think you gotta go griddle, dude.
You know what? I was looking at a couple Blackstones on the old Facebook Marketplace because I wanted to invest in a grill, but then I was like, you know what? Get a Blackstone on Marketplace, around under $100 and just to have.
My grill hasn't been uncovered since I got the Blackstone.
Damn, man. It might go that route, man. We might just pull the trigger on the Blackstone, but this year, the Blackstone has the
versatility, man. It's got the versatility. Yeah. Honestly, I think, in my opinion, cooks a steak better than a grill.
Ooh, a flat top. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get that even sear.
Yeah.
Like I know the grill marks are fun. It's always fun to get grill marks.
Yeah.
But what if you could just have one giant grill mark?
One even sear.
Yeah. There it is, Matt. Blackstone's a game changer. It really is.
It's crazy how many people are like selling them too. Like I feel like they're just selling them because they just get too dirty and they don't want to deal with them. Because I see them and they're like, I know what I have. It's $450. I look at that thing. I'm like, dude, you haven't cleaned that in 3 years, man.
So here's the thing too, Dan. Keep an eye on Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart typically has really good Blackstone deals.
Yeah, I'll have to put that out around Father's Day. I bet they're.
Not to brag or anything, but I'm a member of the Blackstone Reddit. but they always post things like sub $200 Blackstones.
Nice.
Oh yeah, there you go. That yes, they always have clearance ones. That's the thing. you can get a solid one. Like mine,
Norristown Walmart, man. That's the wild, wild west of Walmarts right there.
That is, yeah, that's a tough one. Right in Eagleville.
It is one that we go to being out here. So it's almost the same distance to go to Pottstown or Norristown. I find myself sometimes going to that Pottstown one or that Norristown one, and I go, whew. Man,
Norristown does have the better garden section. I will say that.
It's the Badlands out there, though. You have to go in ready.
Yeah. You get to look at clearance deals. They have great they usually you don't need like bells and whistles on your Blackstone. Just get the griddle. A griddle. Make sure it has a hard top and you're fine.
Yeah.
Get ready to season it. The problem is with like when you get the ones on Facebook Marketplace, if they're rusted, like you're going to have
exactly. They look. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to sand it down. You're going to have to reseason it.
Yeah.
The new ones you're going to get, you're going to have to season once and then you just cook on it and it seasons itself.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I love the thought of it seasoning itself.
Yeah. The art of seasoning is Matt will back me up on this. It's when you see that nice like black sheen, or you can crack an egg on it and not have to have anything down for it to not stick. It's a sense of pride that you can't really experience anywhere else.
I know. I'm ready to take my breakfast sandwiches to the next level, Tom.
Oh, Dan, the breakfast sandwiches. I've there it is. Beautiful, Dan. Dan, I've been able to replicate the bridge side grill.
Oh yeah, throwing in the hoagie roll,
dude. So there are times when I buy hoagie rolls to do cheesesteaks on.
Yeah.
And then I'll have extras and I'll be like, oh, well, I have extra cheese, which Cooper Sharp is the way to go for your breakfast sandwiches and your cheesesteaks.
No debate to be had here. So.
Cooper Sharp on everything. You get crack an egg, crack a couple, two eggs, scramble them up, crack them on there, throw some bacon down, Cooper Sharp. Throw it into a roll. Oh my God. My own.
All right, Tom. All right. I'm going to need the ambulance, Tom.
Yeah. That's next level. When
the family leaves, Dan, when the family leaves and you're like, all right, have a good day. And then you just walk out into the back porch and throw yourself on a nice little brekkie sandy.
Oh man, put the laptop on the patio table next to it.
Next level, dude. Next level.
Dan, my body's ready.
Matt,
I'm talking to you. Dan's gonna have a griddle within the month.
Wait till you see my chopping skills.
Dan,
you guys ain't seen paradiddles on a chopping
knife. Dan, that's going to take our friendship to a whole new level. sharing Blackstone recipes, techniques.
I'm going to do Blackstone IG videos where I just do like Slayer songs, but with like the griddle spatulas. Be like.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The hood is, yeah, especially Dan, for where you would have it. I mean, you could keep it. You could keep it in your covered area.
Yeah, and just roll it out when I use it.
It's smoke. It's not really smoke. It's not smoky.
That's true. I guess it wouldn't be that smoky.
No, you could keep it in your patio. Yeah. You could keep it in the covered area.
I would need to definitely have the hood. Yeah.
Yeah. For it. Yeah. I mean, mine's covered. But yeah, for cooking vegetables, a hood helps. Yeah. I mean, you could just buy a dome. I don't put the hood down for vegetables. I dome it.
Just put a dome over it. Yeah.
Yeah. I put a dome. You squirt a little bit of water and then you plop a dome on top of it and steams it. This is the kind of conversations we can have every day when you get a Blackstone.
Discussions followed by what's on your griddle.
Dude, that's going to be, ain't nobody got time for that. You're putting your hood down, dude. You're like, you're putting your whole hood down. Ain't nobody got time for that. There's only, that hood can only be down on a certain temp for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Just get a dome. They're like $5 domes from Amazon. You plop them down. I can't wait for the text. That's going to be like, it's going to be like when my text popped up as blue bubbles for you, Dan.
Oh man, that was, I still remember where I was that day.
That's when
I was on the shitter.
As if when I get the, I got a Blackstone text,
that's going to be my, where were you on 9/11?
Yeah, I will remember where I'm at when that happens. And it will. Oh, it will happen.
I was there when the griddle fell into the I was there when the second breakfast sandwich hit. God.
Yeah, Dan, the first time you have that breakfast sandwich, you're going to be like, God damn it. Why didn't I do that? Why did I waste 38 years of my life without one of these?
I'm going to do hibachi style like tricks with it. I'm going to be slinging shrimp at people.
Oh. What? Yeah. Yeah. You'll get there, Dan. It's the natural progression.
I want to do fried rice on the griddle.
Ooh. It's a good one. We do that at breakfast.
Ooh,
fried rice. Yeah. Breakfast fried rice.
Breakfast fried rice. It's great. A little pork belly in there too.
Spam.
Oh, you do the spam in it?
Nice. Yeah. Spam, eggs, onions, rice. Got to cook the rice the night before.
The night before. Yeah.
That's in the fridge.
Yep.
Yep. Throw it down on the griddle with some shit ton of oil. Let it fry up. Then you get the two. Then you get the two flat spatulas and shing, 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 shing.
Oh, it's gonna be musical. It's gonna be an experience.
It's beautiful, Dan. It's really something to behold.
I'm gonna have the eggs on the spatula. I'm gonna throw them up into my hat.
Whoop. Whoop. All right, we got 10 minutes left, Dan. 8 minutes left. Good God. What are we talking? What are we dad-scushing about?
So we dad-scushing lawns, we dad-scushing griddles.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've been kind of getting into right now is recently it's the lawn up. Have you gotten the garden ready?
Not yet. Not yet.
Have you started any sprouts? Any goals for for veggies this year?
It's the veggie part is really, a lot of it is my wife. I have my pepper garden and that's really my thing.
Okay.
So I think next year over the winter, I'm going to do garlic. I think I'm going to do the old garlic thing. Nice. We've talked logistics around what we're going to plant. I like to do tomatoes out of the garden. I like to do them potted.
So we did tomatoes in the garden with like the little cages and everything. Mm-hmm. And it did very well, but it definitely got a little out of hand.
Yeah. I like them potted because I like to be able to move it and it's very easy to contain them.
Yeah. See, that was one thing. Like we had to get the cages. We had one set of cages and then we had to upgrade because we just had a plethora. I mean, the cherry tomato harvest last year was just insane.
Yeah.
The insane amount of cherry tomatoes we got last year. So we're scaling back a little bit. We're going with, we're also going with multicolored carrots this year.
Ooh. Okay.
So we're doing we're doing some root vegetables.
Okay.
With that.
We did that last year. But our soil was not high enough, and we just got a bunch of little multicolored chodes.
You got the chodes.
Yeah, I got the little chodes. Why does it wrong? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they did. I mean, they came through.
Just a bunch of carrot butt plugs.
Exactly. We did beets last year too.
Ooh, beets. Yeah.
Yeah, which right. I what the fuck do you do with beets? What are you going to do with beets? We're not going through a Russian winter. We don't need beet soup.
Honestly, they're best when you like pickle them.
Yeah. And I don't got time for that. I'll go to the store and buy pickled beets.
Like make them like kimchi. Like you put them in like
the brine. Yeah. And bury them underground.
Well, yeah, exactly. You put them in the brine, like pickle them. And like, yeah. I've had spicy pickled beets that were pretty legit.
Pickled beets were when it was a thing. I don't even know if it's really a thing anymore. The salad bar. And the last one that I really had went to was Ruby Tuesdays in the outlets. Getting hyper local here again.
Yeah.
But Ruby Tuesdays had an elite salad bar. And salad bars are slept on, I feel like.
I feel like that the China virus
took out the
100%.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
There's some lonely salad bars at the grocery stores these days.
Yeah.
Do you ever see anyone actually in the salad bar when you go to the store?
So the one by me, they turned their salad bar and they just made it a more hot bar.
I've seen that. I've also seen where they turn the salad bar into more just like a fresh food. Like, hey, you just want to, you want to get a couple of grape leaves stuffed with like feta cheese. Just come over here, scoop them out yourself, weigh them.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. Like the salad bar was a great thing. Like, and I was always a big thing for me in the salad bar was the pickled beets.
Yeah.
I would always throw them on there. Pickled beets mixed with ranch. When the ranch and the pickled beet mixed together. Ooh, it was God, just
I've never had but I could see where you're coming.
It was harmonious.
The zest between the two is probably a nice balance.
Oh, and it just became that light lavender purple. Like a nice lavender sauce.
Okay, so you got your peppers and everything ready to go. I mean, you don't have to do them quite yet, I guess.
No.
Peppers are a little further down. Yeah, we're starting to we have indoor sprouts going.
Okay. Yeah, we typically don't do much from seeds.
Yeah, we're doing like snap peas from seeds and stuff. Okay. So we've got snap peas. The carrots started sprouting already, so we're going to probably get them in the ground in the next like 2 or 3 weeks once they start getting a little bit bigger in the pots. But yeah, we started doing like the pre-sprouts. Last year, we just kind of planted the bed and it thrived.
Yeah.
But like this year, we started out with some sprouts. We're doing some wildflowers for the bees.
Yeah, we've done that the last couple of years.
Yeah, so we got that going. We're gonna do sunflowers, I think, this year too.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, we've got some plans. We got plans going.
Yeah,
I might do some peppers potted just to dip my toes in some peppers.
I did, and I think you have the same style beds as us, the greenies or greenus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That brand of the beds. I did a 4x4. I just bought it myself and threw it out there. I was like, this is going to be my pepper garden. And I did peppers last year. I did habanero, which thrived, you can't fuck up habaneros. You just put them in the ground and then close to fall, they just explode.
Nice.
The shishitos were really good. Those were like how your cherry tomatoes were.
Yeah, they just getting it.
They out of them. Exploded all year long. So I put those. I put shishitos in everything. Bell peppers, I've had difficulties with the last couple years.
I think they're fickle. They're a fickle pepper. Yeah,
they are.
Hot peppers, like a weed. They just grow.
Yeah,
but like. Bell peppers, I feel like, are just a little bit more finicky.
Yeah, and it's like you have to walk that fine line of like ripe and rotted. And then I had banana peppers, which were they worked out well.
I think I want more banana pepper. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot more utility with banana peppers. You can put them in just about anything.
I bring them in, cut them into rings, and pickle them right away.
Pickle them, and that way you can start, putting them on your hoagies, put them in, like,
yeah,
Yeah. Ooh, I'm ready. I'm ready for the season.
Yeah. Now I'm hungry. Yeah. Now your boy's hungry. But yeah, we are, we're like we said, we're in the, we're getting in the thick of dad discussion season. We are, and that kind of rolls into, we're going to bring back Dads on the Porch.
Ooh, yeah. This is our soft launch of Dads on a Porch. So
yeah,
the window's open down over there already. So
Dan, I think we got to go Dads on a Porch. I think we got to figure out a night for you to come over early. And I might maybe sling some cheesesteaks before the podcast on the Blackstone.
See it in action.
Mm-hmm.
See the spatch in action.
Yeah. Yeah. See it in full effect.
I got to see it, man.
Do a little cheesesteak action and then run into the podcast.
Nice. Maybe let me get a turn on the Blackstone. You can be behind me like the movie, like the movie Ghost.
the song, what goddamn, what's the song from?
I'm shaping the slices of ribeye with Cooper Sharp.
Yeah, hold on, I'm finding it. What's the Unchained Melody, right?
Unchained Melody.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
is this it? Yeah,
that's the song. It's just gonna be me. It's like, Tom, is that enough Cooper Sharp? It's never enough.
No, but it's what are the words for it? I'm gonna find it. Unchained Melody. There it is. me and Dan making cheesesteaks together.
Is that enough cheese, Tom? It's never enough cheese.
All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Are those rolls seated? All right, yeah, let's wrap it up.
Oh, well, yes, they are, Dan.
Ooh.
Is that Cooper Sharp over there?
Smoked Cooper Sharp. Only time.
Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us. We will catch you next week with another beer, more dad discussions, and some more laughs, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll get nerdy with beer again too. That was fun.
Yeah, I like that. I like what we're doing here. Substituting brewers with beer education.
Beer education. It still sticks with the BBC though. We're still hard into the BBC.
Yes. Yeah. Black beer education, Cox.
Beer shares and comedy.
All right, everybody. This has been Best Friends Podcast, episode 209.
We out.
See ya.
Best Friends Pod, hosted by Dan and Tom. 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 This podcast is hosted by two bros. So crack a beer and laugh at some videos. Superhuman jump through barbed wire bricks. Fuck this shit. Clang out with little lunchbox. Become a clug-a-let, a clug-a-let. Sometimes I'm a stouty boy, sometimes lazy. And this podcast is both, so it's so up on me. Best Friends Pod.
hosted by Dan and Tom. Sammy Crawford's a fan. How could you go wrong? So many pods up there. Were it the ones for me? Epstein is still alive.